From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from the golden age of radio. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open today's program with an episode of High Adventure. I think the title of the series pretty much explains it all. This is an NBC broadcast from July 30th of 1950, episode 27 in the series, entitled The Hill.
It was a sharp pain. The room spun around like it had come unhinged. Then everything blurred like ink on a blotter. I tried to say something, but my tongue was a wad of cotton in my mouth. Then there was nothing.
This is The Hill, an action story of the one thrilling moment in a man's life that can only be called High Adventure. This is High Adventure, the telling of strange stories of strong men living the greatest and most exciting moment of a lifetime, their moment of high adventure. And on the agenda at this meeting is a story of savage action called The Hill. The author and director, Elliot Drake. And to tell it, here's the man who lived it, Dave Wilson.
All the other guys said I was crazy, said it wouldn't be the same, the war being over and everything, but I did it anyway. Yeah, they all went home to their wives and families, and I signed up again. And why shouldn't I? Staff sergeant's pay wasn't bad. It was a 5-day week, 30 days furlough a year, and retirement at the end of 20 if you wanted it. Wasn't a bad life. Maybe the Joes weren't the smartest guys in the world, but they were better than nothing. At least you could always find somebody that felt like doing what you wanted to do. Things didn't change much. A little more chicken, maybe. Had to stand an extra drill a week, but you can get used to anything. Had a couple of letters from guys I knew during the war telling me what a tough time they were having reconverting to civilian life. Then pretty soon they stopped writing, and that was that. Wasn't like the old outfit, but it was good enough.
Hi, David.
Hello, Hillbilly.
Better hustle, boy, if you want to make retreat.
Too hot. Ought to be a regulation about not holding retreat when it's over 80.
Sure, we'll cut an order on it tomorrow.
Move over.
Sure.
Hey. You got a good sack here.
I know the supply, Sergeant.
Ought to try that load of straw I sleep on.
I'll see if I can fix you up.
It's the trouble with this army. All the time you got to know somebody to get something. Now, back in the old outfit...
There you go again.
Okay.
What'd the lieutenant say?
Nothing much.
I think you got him all figured out wrong.
Yeah?
He can't help it if he's fresh out of the point.
That kind of stuff is okay back in the States, but out here...
I know. I got a look at his 201 file today. Nothing but excellence and superiors all the way through.
I could have guessed.
Maybe after he's been here a while,
you... Not him.
He crawl all over you?
No, he just said all non-coms will stand retreat.
Did, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe we better get humping.
Hillbilly.
Huh?
What do you say we take off?
Mean over the hill?
I'd like to.
Oh, cool off. You'll forget all about it in a couple of days.
It ain't that.
What then?
I don't know. Nothing ever happens around here. It's a spit and polish army if I ever saw one. Parade, rest.
You need a furlough.
Yeah, I guess so. 3 years in one place is too much for anybody.
Remember last year? Man, I thought we never would get you back to the post.
Yeah. That's what I'll do.
What?
Put in for a furlough back to the States. Yeah.
Come on, you guys. I only got 5 minutes.
You can tell Lieutenant Smoyer.
David?
Oh, you got a wrong idea, Dave. Retreat, she's the same. That's the time
you've
when
been reading the handbook again.
Better leave him alone, Angelo. He's not feeling so good.
Oh. Well, better you hurry just the same.
He will.
Lieutenant, he's a safe fallout with rifles tonight.
What?
That's right.
That does it.
And bayonets.
Is he going to inspect?
I don't know.
Criminy, I ain't cleaned my rifle in 2 weeks.
Only got it 5 minutes.
He got any oil, David?
You know the supply, Sergeant.
Oh.
That's the one thing a good soldier takes care of.
Come on. Where is it?
Some in my footlocker.
Thanks. Got any patches?
Top shelf.
Gee, if you just don't inspect.
Here, give me that thing. I'll clean your rifle if you'll shine my brass.
Sure, give me a buckle.
Here.
Now, what'd I do with them?
On the bunk.
Oh, yeah. Are you guys making out, huh?
We'll make it.
Wonder where Flaherty is.
Probably over at the PX drinking beer.
I could use one.
Hot enough. This thing's so rusty.
And you ain't cleaned this buckle for a month, neither.
Buckle make a soldier.
How's that look?
It'll do.
Come on, hurry up.
There. It ain't good, but it ain't bad.
Thanks. Come on, you guys. Hey, how's my tie look?
Stinks.
Hurry up.
This joint's for the birds. Korea. That was Saturday, June 24th. I took off on a weekend pass right after retreat. The next morning it happened. Hidden by a thick ground mist, the North Koreans broke through the line along the 38th parallel and started pushing south for Seoul. It wasn't no maneuver. As soon as I heard the news, I beat it back to MAM headquarters, Military Advisory Mission headquarters, for instructions. When I got there, the place looked like a cyclone had hit it. Trucks and equipment all over the place and everyone moving on the double. I ran into Hillbilly over by the communications shack.
Where have you been, David?
In town, what's up?
We're pulling out.
What time?
Take it easy with that stuff.
What'd you say?
When are we leaving?
You stupid jerks, I better get on them.
Get over to office, David. Lieutenant wants to see you.
Yeah. You want to see me, Lieutenant?
That the way you address an officer, Sergeant?
Huh? Oh.
That's better?
Yes, sir.
You probably heard the news.
Yes, sir.
Unit's been ordered south to Suwon.
Johnny Howard, he'll be ready to roll in 10 minutes, sir.
Good. I'll have the march order typed up by then.
Yes, sir.
March order, sir?
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Headquarters is cutting another order, putting us on special duty.
Us?
We've been assigned to set up an observation post in the forward area.
Yeah.
You're the most experienced man in the outfit.
Yes, sir. How's it going up there?
Hard to say. Most of the lines are down. A lot of reports coming back, but they're all conflicting.
Sounds normal.
Huh? Yes. Well, it doesn't look good at any rate.
Never does.
You go down to the motor pool and sign out the communications jeep.
Yes, sir.
And then get over to the supply room and draw 2.45 pistols.
If you don't mind, sir, I'd just as soon keep my M1 if we're going up.
Sergeant, we are non-combatants. 45s will do.
But, Lieutenant...
That's all, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Better draw some rations from the mess hall while you're over there.
For how many men, sir?
Just the two of us.
That all, sir?
Yes, Sergeant. Get going now.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant!
Yes, sir. Oh.
Better. On the double.
Yes, sir. Heading north towards the fighting. The roads were jammed with civilians leaving the battle area. Some of them were on carts, a couple were lucky and had trucks, but most of them were traveling by foot. The women were carrying their belongings on their heads and their babies strapped to their backs. The men and the kids that were old enough to walk were driving their goats and cows ahead of them and dragging the few things they'd saved behind them. I saw one little fellow with a chair tied on his back and the chair piled high with all kinds of pots and pans. Funny the things people hang on to at a time like that. When we got further north, we started running into soldiers coming back from the fighting. There wasn't no panic. Most of them were calm, just retreating south in long lines down both sides of the road. Some of them were shot up pretty bad. As we rode by them, a couple of them waved. All of them smiled like the lieutenant and me was going to win the war for them. I kept looking for regrouping areas, but there didn't seem to be none. Then there were no more soldiers, and we had the road to ourselves. Ought to be getting up here now.
Yes.
How far are we gone?
45 miles.
Won't be long.
Storm coming up.
Huh?
Thunder. Storm coming up.
Yeah.
We'll set up the observation post in that town ahead.
Lieutenant.
Yes, Wilson.
Back in Europe, we...
I'll make the decision, Sergeant.
Sometimes you...
Sergeant.
Find... Yes, sir.
Coming up fast.
Uh-huh.
Let us start looking for...
Doc... Funny kind of lightning.
That's artillery fire.
Better get going, Lieutenant. Be more along in a minute.
What?
Always lay them down in a pattern.
Yes, yes.
Down. Ought to That'll be all for a while. Kind of noisy.
Yeah.
Been a couple of years since I heard it. You get used to it.
I suppose so.
I don't like it.
What?
Being inside their fire.
Just a few stray shells?
Maybe. You planning on driving right into that town, sir?
That's right.
I wouldn't if I was you.
Wilson.
Going into a town you don't know nothing about is the surest
way. They can't
way
be this far south.
Rather be out in the open myself.
We'll be all right.
But, Lieutenant...
Besides, we're non-combatants. They won't fire on us.
Yes, sir.
Keep an eye out now, Sergeant.
Huh?
I want to talk to one of the villagers.
Oh, yeah.
They'll know how far...
Lieutenant, at least slow down, will you?
You worry too much, Wilson. No one in sight?
Nope.
Villagers must have cleared out.
They usually do.
What? Oh.
Really worked this place over.
Yeah.
Guys handling that artillery ain't no rookies. They know what they're doing.
Must
be. We better
be
get out of here.
What's the matter?
They ain't far off, that's for sure.
Well, we're 15 miles from the line.
I know, but just
oh,
the
they
same.
Couldn't have gotten this far in one day.
Listen, Lieutenant, I can smell
Watch
those.
What you're saying,
I
Wilson.
Don't give what...
I can see you...
Look out! Hang around! Hurry up. They see us. Get going. Keep down. They're after us. Go left. Go left.
Think they hit us.
What's the matter?
Puts all the way down to the floor.
Keep it there. There they are again.
Got a tire.
And a gas can leaking all over.
What's all the way?
Right, go right. Now I'll get rid of that can. Lousy strap. There.
We lose them?
I don't know.
Hang on.
Head out of town.
Yeah.
Left, left, left. Now let her go. We're leaving them. Non-combatants. We didn't know which way we were headed, but it wasn't no time to be fussy. The Jeep was shot up bad, and we wanted ground between us and that tank before she broke down. When we started hitting hills, I tried to tell the lieutenant we were going the wrong way, but he said he knew what he was doing. By the time it got dark, we were up in the mountains. The Jeep was having a tougher time on every hill, and finally she couldn't take no more. Just stopped cold. We pushed her off the road, and I strapped the radio on my back, and we started off into the brush.
This is good enough, Wilson.
Huh?
We'll camp here for the night.
Suits me. This thing's getting heavy. Whew. Sea rations are going to taste like
Sergeant,
steak. Yeah?
Contact headquarters first.
I wouldn't do that.
Why not?
We don't know where we are. Might give away our...
I'm responsible.
What good will it do us?
It's procedure.
You can turn it on if you want to.
Sergeant.
Look, Lieutenant, if I thought you knew what
turn
you were...
Turn on the radio.
Okay.
There are too many men like you in the service, Wilson.
Yeah?
Because you've had some experience in the field, you think you're a regimental commander.
Maybe.
You need a good lesson in discipline. Contact headquarters.
Yes, sir. Baker Blue calling Sugar Abel Tear. Baker Blue calling Sugar Abel Tear. Come in, Sugar Abel Tear. Over.
Try them again.
Baker Blue calling Sugar Abel Tear. Baker Blue calling Sugar Abel Tear. Come in, Sugar Abel Tear. Over. The 610s ain't much good over 75 miles.
We'll get them. Try again.
Sugar Abel Tear calling
there
Baker
they are.
Blue. Sugar Abel Tear calling Baker Blue. We'll read you loud and clear. Come in, Baker Blue. Over.
That you, Hillbilly?
Yeah, David. Where you been?
We've been busy.
Where are you?
Don't know. We ain't where we're supposed to be. What's new?
Nothing much. Things don't look good. How's it up there?
Bad. We've been some...
I'll talk to him, Wilson.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Howard, take this message for the CO.
Yes, sir.
Tell him that to the best of our knowledge, we are behind... What's the matter with you?
Shut up.
Wilson?
Shut up, I said.
What was that?
Someone between us and the road.
How could anybody...
Must have heard the jeep.
But I...
Shut up. Other side.
Dark.
Get down. It's a signal.
Below us, too.
Yeah.
Put that gun away, Wilson.
Nuts.
We're non-combatants.
Yeah, they don't know that.
Give me that gun.
You're crazy.
That's an order. Give me that gun.
Are you rank happy jerk?
Give it to me.
I'm clearing out. If they start shooting, I'm shooting back.
Wilson, if you fire one shot, I'll throw the book at you when we get back.
If we get back. You're coming, you're gonna stay, Smoyer.
I'll have you caught, Marshal.
Have to run for it.
Which way?
Up the hill, only way open.
The radio.
Leave it. Come on. Keep going. You hit?
Yeah.
Where?
I don't know. Get going.
Can you walk?
Sonado.
Give me your arm.
Have you
shut
caught...
up. Picked him up, half carried him, half dragged him up the hill. Branches slapped at my face and chest. My back ached from the weight of him. A couple of times I tripped and fell, but somehow I got up again. My legs were like water under me, and I kept thinking one more step. One more step. The firing was dropping away behind me, and then it started raining. I don't know how long or how far I ran, but all of a sudden I realized there was no more shooting, and I fell to the wet ground. At first there was blackness. Then in the blackness I felt warmth on the back of my neck, on my arms. The ground was cool against my face, but I could feel the sweat running down my body under my shirt. I tried to turn over, but something was pinning me to the ground. Then I remembered the lieutenant and the rain and falling in the mud. I pushed again, and this time the lieutenant's body slid off me. I rolled over and opened my eyes. The sun blinded me as I sat up, and I covered my face with my hands. When I opened my eyes again, I saw him. He was standing 5 or 6 feet away from us with his hands folded in front of him. He was wearing a long white robe, and his white hair was piled up high in a tight knot on top of his head. He had a thin beard that was stained at the corners of his mouth. He was tall and thin and old. The lieutenant moved and groaned next to him.
I knew you would come.
Huh?
You are Americans, yes?
Stay where you are.
I will not harm you. I've been waiting for you.
Don't move. Lieutenant. Lieutenant, can you hear me?
Oh.
Come on, come on.
He is sick?
I'll take care of him. Smoyer, this is Wilson.
Wilson?
Yeah. How do you feel?
I'm okay. My leg.
You were hit?
Yeah, yeah. Should have left me.
Huh?
It was an order.
Why, you...
Gotta learn discipline.
Wish I had left you.
He has need of medicine.
He don't need nothing.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Who are you?
I'm called Yi Wong Song.
What do you want?
I knew you would come.
What do you mean?
My people have great need of you.
Now, wait a minute, Pop. We're just...
You are Americans?
Well, yeah, but...
That is all.
What do you make of the old goat?
I don't know. Where are we, old man?
You are on the hill of my ancestors.
That's great.
Where's that?
What do you mean?
Well, are we in North Korea, South Korea? Where are we?
You are on the hill of my ancestors.
See?
What are you? Are you North Korean? South Korean?
I am Korean. We are all one. There are some who think there is a North and South. That is what you must do.
What?
Teach my people that we are all one.
How you doing, Lieutenant?
Where do you live?
On the hill
of... Don't start that again.
Have you a house?
I am building my house.
We're moving in, old man.
What do you mean?
He said we're taking over and no back...
You will do me the honor to share my house.
Yeah, and we'll also
this
do you the...
This is as I wish. Come.
We picked picked the lieutenant up and carried him between us. The old man may have had white hair, but he was strong as an ox. It was tough climbing, and we had to stop and rest three or four times before we reached the top. Finally, the path leveled off, and the old man pointed ahead. There was a small hut made of stones piled on top of one another. A bomb crater was alongside the hut, and one whole wall had been knocked over. The thatched roof had been burned off. But I could see where the old man had started to rebuild the wall, and half of a new roof was already in place. We carried the lieutenant inside, and the old man went to work on his leg. He seemed to know what he was doing, so I just sat and watched. While he was working, the old man talked.
They came on the holy day with our guns and their trucks, and the people in the village ran from their homes.
Where's the village?
It may be seen from the hill. I told the people that you would come, but they did not listen.
Look, Pop, you got the wrong...
Shut up, Wilson.
But I...
Shut up.
Go on, Pop. I didn't mean to sound off.
Now there's no one in the village, and I am alone.
Where's your family?
Sinko and Sumin lie with their ancestors. The others have gone.
You mean they left you?
It was as I wished. Someday this will be gone. I must build again the home of my ancestors.
Means a lot to you, huh?
The hill is the home of my ancestors for more years than there are flowers in the valley.
Hey, take it easy.
There is pain.
Yeah.
This too will be gone.
How long will it take?
2 days, 3 days, you will walk. I go for water.
I'll get it for you, Pop.
This Pop, what does it mean?
Well, I... Nothing.
I will go, my son.
Huh. What do you think, Smoyer?
I think we'll be all right here till I'm well enough to travel.
Yeah.
He's a pretty right guy.
Who, the old man?
Yeah.
You didn't go for all that flowers and ancestor stuff.
He really believes we're here to straighten this all out.
Yeah, how? They can shoot at us and we can't even shoot back.
I don't think he's so interested in the shooting part of it.
Maybe he isn't, but I am.
Look, Wilson, we're not going to let that old guy down.
Speak for yourself, John.
Listen to me, Sergeant.
You listen to me. I'm sick of listening to you. It's time you listen to me. I told you not to go in that town, but you did, and we had to run away from a tank. I told you we was going the wrong way when we got up in these hills, but you knew what you were doing. We got pinned down by a gang of trigger-happy jerks. Well, that ain't my way to fight a war. Why should I stick my neck out for that old goat when guys back in the States are taking off for a Sunday night date and don't even know there's a war going on? The whole thing's screwy.
Sergeant?
Sergeant, you listen to me, Shavetail. He don't owe me nothing, and I owe him the same. Yeah, I know. You're going to throw the book at me when we get back. Maybe we won't ever get back. Until we do, we're just a couple of Joes. No more bars, no more stripes, just a couple of Joes, see? You do what you want, I'm going to do what I want to. And if that means shooting my way out, that's what I'm going to do. Clear?
If I had two good legs, I'd get up and beat your face in.
I don't think you would.
You must hide. They're coming.
Who's coming?
The men from the north.
How many?
2 or 3. I did not stop.
We can handle them.
You crazy. If they find us here, they'll come back and blow the old man's house clean off the map. And the hill with it.
That's his worry. Get down behind that bed, Smoyer. You go out and talk to him, Pop. They poked their noses inside that door. I'm going to let them have it. Now get going.
I do not understand.
Go on out and talk to him, that's all.
Yes, yes, my son.
Don't do it, Wilson.
Shut up.
Hi, Sue.
There they are.
I'm not going to let you.
Shut up and watch that door.
I'm not going to let you.
Spun around like it had come unhinged, and then everything blurred like ink on a blotter. I tried to say something, but my tongue was a wad of cotton in my mouth. Then there was nothing. The next thing I knew, my mouth was full of water, and I was gasping for air. Someone was hitting my face, and Wilson. Way off, I could hear my name.
Wilson, open your eyes.
Air.
Come on.
Name. Air.
Come on, Wilson, open your eyes. Come on, Wilson.
What happened?
I hit you with my .45.
Yeah?
Keep them open?
Yeah.
Hurry up. Gotta get you up on your feet.
What's the matter?
They're coming back.
What?
When I hit you, you yelped.
Yes, better, yes.
Yeah.
What happened to those jokers?
You scared them off, but they're coming back. Whole company of them. You okay?
Yeah.
On your feet?
Yeah.
The old man's gonna show us a way down out of here.
Come.
Lean on me, Smoyer.
Thanks.
Where's my gun?
I've got it.
Still a lieutenant.
Come, this is the path.
Too late.
Yeah.
How about the other path?
Oh, they're over there, too.
Looks like this is it.
Yes.
Let's get back to the hut. We'll make them work for it.
No.
What do you mean, no?
We'll give ourselves up.
You're going to start that again? You got about 2 minutes to make up your mind.
Nope.
Give me my gun.
No.
Why, you jerk, you. Huh?
Plane.
Must think this is a big deal.
Yeah.
Men, machine guns, planes, for what? A second lieutenant and a lousy sergeant. Go on, you dirty... Hey, wait a minute.
What?
That's a Yank plane.
Huh?
It's one of ours.
It is.
Let him have it, baby.
Give it to him.
Show him how it's... Hey.
What?
You know what that means?
Well, it means...
This is a shooting war.
Yeah.
Give me that gun.
Let's go.
Get out of the way, Pop.
Look at him run.
Go on, you lily-livered devils.
Come on down the path.
Stay with us, Pop.
Keep firing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We started down the path shooting as we went. Then all of a sudden, there wasn't nothing to shoot at. We could hear the small arms crackling and the planes diving on the other side of the hill, but our side was clear. The old man half carried the lieutenant to the bottom, and then he led us along on the path through the brush. Finally, we come out in a little clearing by a river. There was a boat pulled up on the bank.
The river flows to the south. It will take you to your friends.
You're coming too, ain't you?
No, my son.
But I thought that...
I must return to the hill of my ancestors.
Well, I'll
Sergeant.
Be... Yes, sir.
Thank you, old man.
It is I who thank you. My people believe what your nation has told them. They are strong because of their faith in what you say. We will wait for your return. Goodbye, my son.
Goodbye, old man. Come on, Sergeant. Hey, what's the matter, Sergeant? Keep paddling.
Yeah. Yeah. Zeroed the hill.
Keep paddling.
No house at all. Can't see the old guy.
He won't be waiting for us then.
But we'll be back. May take time, old man. But we'll be back.
Hill, a story of one of the one thrilling moment in a man's life that can only be called high adventure. And heard in The Hill as Dave Wilson was Jack Orison, with Jim Stevens, Al Patterson, and Jim Bowles. And next week, high adventure friends, we're proud to present a story of a man who faced death in the white heat of a baseball diamond. We like to call it the Greenfield Boy. So until next week, and the Greenfield Boy... Look around you wherever you are. Watch it, but don't live it. This thing we call high adventure. Remember next week, The Greenfield Boy, a high adventure story of action, which combined with Big Guy following immediately over most of these stations forms a full hour of mystery and adventure over NBC each week at this time. So stay with us now for Big Guy.
Kay Armand sings some of your favorites tonight on NBC.
The Hill, Program 27 in the series High Adventure, from July 30th, 1950, on NBC. It's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch with the program, it's qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And the blog and website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. This is program number 1605. For our final offering this hour, we'll stay with the NBC Radio Network as we turn to an episode of The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. There were several attempts at Sherlock Holmes radio dramas on both American and British radio over the years. This particular series ran in the late 1930s and starred Basil Rathbone as Sherlock Holmes and Nigel Bruce as Dr. Watson. From November 6th of 1939, this is The Bruce Partington Plans.
The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, starring Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce. The makers of Grove's Bromo Quinine Tablets bring you another adventure of Sherlock Holmes, with Basil Rathbone as Sherlock Holmes and Nigel Bruce as Dr. Watson. A cold is a miserable thing. A cold may become a dangerous thing. Even a so-called light cold can take a serious turn. Be prompt, be decisive in your treatment of a cold. At the very first sign of a cold, take Grove's Bromo Quinine Tablets. Bromo Quinine Tablets quickly check the symptoms of a cold, quickly relieve the distress of a cold. They give you speedy results, which are very important. Don't monkey around when you can get such a dependable preparation as Grove's Bromo Quinine Tablets. And now, here we are again on our usual visit to Dr. Watson. He's waiting for us in his study, a cheerful blaze crackling on the hearth.
I'm very relieved to see you, Mr. Manning. Hasn't the weather been atrocious today? I was beginning to wonder if you'd be able to get here tonight through all this fog.
Yes, it certainly is what you Londoners call a regular pea super.
Yes, indeed. It reminds me of the adventure of the missing submarine plans, a case that was solved in the underground.
Underground?
What you Americans call a subway.
Yes, but what has a solution in a subway got to do with a foggy night?
Well, you see, the affair started in weather exactly like this. It was the third week in November, the year 1895, to be exact. On Monday, a dense yellow fog had settled down upon London. On Thursday, it was still there, thickier and murkier than ever. At first, Holmes had turned his nervous energy to cross-indexing his huge reference books. But when, after pushing our breakfast chairs back for the fourth morning, we saw the greasy brown swirl still drifting past the windows, Holmes's patience snapped. Holmes, if you must pace around in circles, I wish you'd change directions now and then. You're making me dizzy.
Bah! It's inexcusable, Watson. Inexcusable. No initiative, no imagination. Nothing ever gets done.
If you're alluding to the inactivity in this last session of Parliament, my dear Holmes...
I'm not speaking of our lawmakers, Watson, but of our lawbreakers. The London criminal is certainly a dull fellow.
What makes you say that?
Well, look out of the window. Ideal weather for committing a crime. The criminal advances on his intended victim practically unseen. He pounces and disappears into thin air.
There have been numerous petty thefts,
ah,
I believe.
Petty thefts. Pickpockets, ragamuffins. What's the country coming to? Now, if I were a criminal, Watson...
Well, I, for one, would move to America.
Oh, hello, hello. Mrs. Hudson's knocking. Excited. What's up, I wonder? Yes, Mrs. Hudson, what is it? Oh, a telegram for me.
Yes, sir.
Very well, thank you.
Oh, well, what's it say?
Well, wait until I open it, can't you? Ah, dear me, what next? Most unusual, Watson, most unusual.
What's most unusual, Watson? What's it say?
Well, it's from my brother, Mycroft. You remember him. He helped us solve the case of the Greek interpreter. He's coming here.
Why not? What's so phenomenal about
that? Why not? Why not, indeed? It's as startling as it would be to meet a tram car coming down a country lane. Yes, yes, now I come to think of it. Mycroft is rather like a tram car. His rails lead from his Pall Mall lodgings to the Diogenes Club in Whitehall. That's his circle. I wonder what upheaval could have derailed him.
Doesn't the telegram explain?
It says, must see you about Cadogan West, coming at once.
Cadogan West? Duggan, why, that's the young chap who's found dead in the underground on Tuesday morning. I remember reading about it in the papers.
Oh?
The young man had apparently fallen out of a train and killed himself. He hadn't been robbed, and there was no reason to suspect violence. Quite an uninteresting case, if I remember correctly.
Not yet. It's serious enough to cause Mycroft to alter his habits. No, Watson, this must be an extraordinary event. Do you recall any other facts about the affair?
Yes, I come to think of it, there was one unusual bit about came out of the inquest. They were unable to ascertain at what point he entered the train, because his ticket was missing.
Strange. What articles were found on the body?
£2.15, I believe it was, a checkbook and... Oh, yes, 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 two dress circle tickets for the Woolwich Theatre, dated for that evening.
Theatre tickets, eh? Then it wasn't suicide. A man doesn't procure theatre tickets for the evening on which he intends to end his life. Anything else?
A small packet of technical papers.
Technical papers? What kind of technical papers?
The newspapers didn't say.
Ah, as serious as that. What did the young man do? Where was he employed?
He was a clerk at Woolwich Arsenal.
Ah, government employee. There we have it, Watson. British government, Woolwich Arsenal, technical papers. That's why Mycroft is involved in this affair.
I don't understand.
No, I suppose not. Watson, have I ever told you what Mycroft is?
Your brother, of course.
Oh, no, Watson. Do you have to be so dense? I mean, do you know what he does?
I seem to have some vague recollection that you once told me that he'd held some small office under the British government.
It would be more accurate to say, in a way, that he is the British government.
What?
His position is unique. He made it for himself. He has the tidiest and most orderly brain of any man alive, with a great capacity for storing facts and giving them the proper interpretation. The conclusions of every government department are passed on to him. He's the central exchange, the clearinghouse. Again and again, his word has decided the national policy. He thinks of nothing else. Nothing else can lure him from his contemplations.
And yet he's coming here.
Yes, Jupiter is descending on us today.
What on earth can happen?
Watson, that sounds suspiciously like a bad pun. Ah, here he is, if I'm not mistaken, to speak for himself. Come in. Hello, Mycroft. What's up? You look flustered.
Most annoying business, Sherlock, most annoying. You know how I dislike altering my habits. Extremely awkward for me to come away from the office, particularly with Siam in its present state. Oh, dear me.
Yeah, sit down, Mycroft, sit down. You know Watson, of course.
Yes, of course. I'm trying to find a chair that I can trust to hold me.
I'd better take the sofa. You certainly haven't got any thinner.
I've never seen the Prime Minister so upset. As for the Admiralty, it's buzzing like an upset beehive. You know anything about the case?
Watson's just been telling me what was in the newspapers. Just what were the technical papers found on the body?
Sherlock, for the love of heaven, not so loud. Those papers which the wretched youth had in his pocket were none other than the plans of the Bruce Partington submarine.
Oh?
The submarine which will completely revolutionize naval warfare. The most important papers in our government archives. Under no circumstances could they be removed from the office. Even the chief constructor of the Navy was forced to go to Woolwich if he desired to consult them.
And yet we find them in the pockets of a dead junior clerk in the heart of London. Yeah, from an official point of view, it's deplorable, my dear Mycroft. Simply deplorable.
You may laugh, Sherlock, but this country won't be safe until they are recovered.
But I thought you said that they were found in the pocket of this chap, Cadogan West.
10 papers taken from Woolwich. 7 were found in the pockets of Cadogan West. 3 are still missing, the 3 essential ones. To recover those 3 papers is imperative. The peace of Europe depends on
them. Nice little problem, eh, Watson? Why did Cadogan West take the papers? How did he die? How did his body reach the place where it was found? And where are the missing papers?
Find the answer to those questions, Sherlock, and you'll have done your country an invaluable service.
Why don't you solve it yourself, Mycroft? I believe you could.
Possibly. But it's a question of digging out details. Give me the details, and I can give you the solution from an armchair. No, when it comes to running about and cross-questioning railway guards and lying on one's face with a lens to one's eye... No, that's not my nature.
Besides, your figure prevents your taking such an undignified position, eh? Very well. Leave that part of it to us, eh, Watson?
Right you are.
Good. I've got a cab waiting outside to take to the place where the body was found. I can give you the details on the way.
Now, Mycroft, who was the official guardian of these famous papers?
No less a personage than Sir James Walter, a gentleman who's grown grey in the service. His patriotism is beyond suspicion.
A bachelor, if I'm not mistaken. Lives with his brother.
Yes. He was at the house of Admiral Sinclair at Berkeley Square during the whole of the evening when this accident occurred. The Admiral vouches for him. He's one of the two who have the only keys to the safe.
And his keeper's with him all evening?
Right. His key, the key to the building, the key to the room.
Who was the man with the other key?
The senior clerk, Mr. Sidney Johnson. A man of 40, married, silent, morose, with an excellent service record.
Any alibi?
He, too, had his key with him. Seems to have spent the evening playing a game of draughts with a green grocer around the corner from his lodgings. Of course, he has only the word of this greengrocer to back him up.
Oh, come, my dear Mycroft. No class discriminations, please. The word of a greengrocer is often just as good as that of an admiral. What about Cadogan West?
He had a good reputation. A bit hot-headed, but straight and honest. At least, everyone thought so. He was next to Sidney Johnson at the office. His duties brought him into daily personal contact with the plans. No one else ever had the handling of them.
Oh, it's perfectly clear. He must have taken...
Ah, not so fast, Watson. Not so fast. Who locked them up that night?
Mr. Sidney Johnson.
Ah. They were of value, commercially, I mean.
Oh, yes. There's no doubt that West could have got several thousands for them very easily.
And yet, only a small amount of money was found on the body.
Perhaps the buyer took it back after he'd murdered West.
Ah, what puzzles me is, how did West obtain possession of those papers? To do so, he must have had a false key.
Several false keys, Sherlock. He had to open the building and the room as well.
Oh, well, several false keys then. Let me see. Suppose West did take the papers and went into town. And on the way back to Woolwich, where he is hoping to replace the papers, he's killed and thrown from the train.
But the spot where the body was found is considerably past the station for London Bridge, which is the route to Woolwich.
Ah, that's interesting. Also, if young West did make an appointment with some foreign agent to sell the papers that night, why didn't he keep the evening clear? Why buy two theater tickets?
Exactly. Furthermore, he actually escorted his fiancée halfway there before he disappeared.
A blind. That's what it looks like to me.
Why did he take the papers at all? Why not copy them out in the office and sell the copies? He certainly had plenty of opportunity to do so. And why the absence of his underground ticket?
Perhaps the ticket would have shown us which station was near the agent's house. So the murderer destroyed it.
Good, Watson. Very good. And yet, I wonder.
Well, here's the underground station. The railway authorities have sent a man round to show the exact place where the body was found.
You won't change your mind and come with us?
Well, crawling around that black hole on my hands and knees, not very likely. Well, I shall expect a report on your efforts this evening.
I never expect too much, Mycroft. Never expect too much.
Before we follow Holmes and Watson into the mazes of the London subway system, I have a word of advice. Every year, colds cause a lot of sickness. Every year, they cause a lot of expense and time lost from work. Always regard a cold seriously. Always treat it earnestly. At the first sign of a cold, take Groves bromoquinine tablets. Bromoquinine tablets are famous relief for the distress of a cold. Their efficacy has been fully established. Bromoquinine tablets go right to work on a cold symptom. They don't waste any time. They don't pull any punches. They quickly relieve the misery of a cold. They help reduce the fever of a cold. Thousands of people keep bromoquinine tablets handy all winter. Thousands of people depend on them as their relief for colds. No other preparation enjoys greater confidence than bromoquinine tablets. Follow the example of millions, and at the first sign of a cold, take Groves bromoquinine tablets. Get them at any drugstore, a few cents a box. Ask specifically for Groves, Groves. Bromo, Bromo. Quinine, Quinine. Groves bromoquinine tablets.
This way, sir. Step right along the tracks.
But it isn't safe. Supposing a train should come shooting round that curve.
Oh, that's all right, sir. There won't be another for 5 minutes anyway. Here we are, sir. This is where they found the body. Right here alongside the rails. Lying on its face, it was.
Spooky old place, eh, Holmes? Like the catacombs, only without the skeletons.
Yeah. Anything in his hands when they found him?
No, sir.
Were they clenched? Or spread out as if he were protecting himself?
No, sir, there was what you might call relaxed.
Ah. What time did all this happen?
Well, sir, the train he was hoisted out of, as near as we can figure, passed along here about midnight on Monday.
All the carriages have been examined for signs of violence, I suppose.
They didn't find nothing, not even the missing ticket. There was a passenger to Aldgate on the ordinary train, about 11:40 it was. He said he'd heard a heavy thud, like something striking the line, just before the train reached this station. But it was so foggy, he said he was blessed if he could see what it was.
Holmes, what's the matter? What are you staring at?
The curve, Watson.
What
curve of the rails.
What of it? What do you mean?
I suppose there aren't many curves as abrupt as this.
No, sir, I can't say as there is.
What have curves got to do with it?
Oh, an indication, Watson. Merely an indication. Unique. Perfectly unique. And yet, why not? I don't see any indications of bleeding on the line.
No, sir, there wasn't any to speak of.
But I understand there was a considerable wound.
The bone was crushed right enough.
Holmes, you hear that? It's a train. It's coming this way.
Run, sir. Run for your life.
Yes, yes, but where?
Up ahead. There's a place where the train switches off.
Run, Watson, run. It's just around the curve.
We'll never make it.
Yes, we will. Faster, faster.
There's the switch up ahead. Come on.
Here comes the train now.
We'll make it. Ah, Justin, Watson, for the love of heaven. You're on the wrong track.
Well, that was a narrow escape, Holmes. I must say my knees are still shaking. Look at the shoulder of my coat where you pulled at me.
Lucky thing for you that I did.
Where are we off to now in this fog?
Yes, it's a nice afternoon. Suppose we pay a few calls. I think Sir James Walter claims our first attention. After that, we might drop in on Miss Westbury.
Miss Westbury? Who's she?
She is Cadogan West's fiancée and the last person to see him alive.
Holmes, we seem to be going around in circles. We've accomplished absolutely nothing so far except to get ourselves nearly annihilated in the underground. After all, it's perfectly obvious that the young man had a quarrel with someone, in all probability to the agent, to whom he sold the papers, and got himself thrown out of the railway carriage for his pains.
I disagree with you, my dear Watson. His body fell from the roof of the carriage where it had been placed. Cadogan West met his death elsewhere.
The roof of the train?
Consider the facts, Watson. A. The curve in the tracks. The body is found at a spot where the train pitches and sways as it comes around the points. B. There's no ticket. C. There were no signs of bleeding on the line because the body had bled elsewhere.
Of course. Everything fits together, but where was the body placed on the train?
I think I can make a fair guess of that, my dear Watson. Here we are. This is the famous official villa of Sir James Walter. And that, if I'm not mistaken, is his brother, Colonel Ballantyne, just coming out of the house.
What's the matter with the man? He looks positively haunted.
Oh, pardon me, Colonel Ballantyne, but can you tell me if Sir James is at home?
Sir James, sir? Sir James is dead.
Good heavens, dead?
He died this morning. It's terrible. Terrible.
How did he die?
Oh, it's this horrible scandal. My brother, sir, was very sensitive of his honor. He couldn't survive the disgrace to his department. It broke his heart. Pardon me, gentlemen, I must go. It broke his heart.
Most appalling development. Eh, Holmes?
I wonder if his death was natural, or if the poor fellow killed himself.
Yes?
Will you tell Miss Westbury that Mr. Sherlock Holmes would like to see her?
Oh, please come in, gentlemen. I'm Violet Westbury, Mr. Holmes. I've been expecting you ever since I heard you had taken the case. Please be seated.
Well, thank you.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, we must save his good name. He couldn't have done it. Cadogan was the most chivalrous, patriotic gentleman on earth. He couldn't have done it. He would have cut his right hand off rather than sell a state secret.
But the facts, my dear Miss Westbury.
I admit I can't explain them.
Was he in need of money?
No, Mr. Holmes. His needs were simple and his salary very good. He'd saved several hundred pounds. We were to be married at the new year.
I see. Had you noticed any signs of mental excitement?
Well, that is...
Come, Miss Westbury, be frank with us.
Yes, Mr. Holmes. That night, I had a feeling that there was something on his mind.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about it, will you?
We were on the way to the theater. It was a foggy night, you remember? We were walking slowly. Our way took us close to his office. Cadogan seemed thoughtful and worried. Darling, what's the matter? You haven't said a word for the last 5 minutes. Have I said or done something?
Of course not, silly. It's just that I've got something on my mind.
Well, why not tell me about it? Perhaps I can help.
It's no use, Vi. It's too serious for me to talk about, even to you.
You know, sometimes, Caddy, I feel just the least little bit jealous of that old job of yours. When you're cooped up in that building all day.
Oh, now you're not going to be jealous of the building.
Well, not really. But it is funny to think of a husband hearing secrets he can't tell his wife.
Mighty important secrets, I can promise you. There's one in particular that any foreign spy would pay good money to get hold of.
How thrilling.
Well, I don't know. They're awfully slack about some things over there in that building, Violet. What's too slack? It would be too confounded easy for a traitor to get his hands on those plans.
What plans?
Never mind, darling. I guess I'm getting a bit melodramatic. But there's something been worrying me. Hello, what's that?
What's what?
Over there, that shadow moving along the side of the building. It's a man. So that's it. I always suspected...
Oh, what's the matter? You're so excited. What's wrong?
Stay here, Violet. There's something I have to find out. Stay here.
waited and waited, but he never returned. Oh, Mr. Holmes, if you could only save his honor, it meant so much to him.
We shall do our best, Miss Westbury. This shadow, this man moving along the building, did you see it too?
I think I did, Mr. Holmes. But the night was so foggy, I can't be sure. But there must have been a man. Another man. It couldn't have been Cadogan. Surely character goes for something.
Let us hope so. Come along, Watson. We must return home. I'm expecting an answer to some telegrams I sent Mycroft earlier this afternoon. We've done enough for one day.
Holmes, where have you been all day? You left this morning before I was up. Now you've come home with your towel awry, your suit torn, and as ravenous as a wolf.
Yes, I've had a bit of exercise, my dear Watson. Pass me the tongue, will you? It would have done you good to go along.
Yes, what were you doing?
Investigating the premises inhabited by foreign spies known to have been in London on last Monday. Mycroft sent me a list of them. Took a bit of doing, too. Climbing walls, breaking into cellars, prowling around rooftops.
Well?
I discovered there was only one residence which had the proper facilities for disposing of West's body after the murder.
Well, whose residence was that?
It belongs to a Hugo Oberstein. The address is 13 Caulfield Gardens, Kensington. The gentleman himself has departed for Europe.
Gone, has he? He took the plans with him. It's too late.
Not necessarily, Watson.
What can we do now?
We're going to keep a rendezvous with the gentleman who stole and sold those plans. The assignation will take place at Mr. Oberstein's house this evening at 9.
What the deuce are you talking about?
These newspaper clippings. I found them in the drawer of Hugo Oberstein's desk. Read them.
The Daily Telegraph agony column. The first one says, too complex for description, must have full report, terms agreed to, payable when goods delivered. Signed, Pirro. Pirro, indeed. Sounds like a Mardi Gras.
Now, read on, Watson, read on.
Second goes, matter presses, must withdraw offer unless contract completed. Pirro again.
And the last, dated Monday, the day the crime was committed.
Monday night after 9, 2 taps, payment in hard cash. I say, do you think it was a submarine that the plans that he was buying?
I'm almost positive. And Pirro was Oberstein himself. But we'll find out for certain this evening. I've invited the gentleman who sold the papers to meet us.
But how? I don't understand.
I inserted this advertisement in today's Daily Telegraph. Tonight, same hour, same place, 2 taps, vitally important. Your own safety at stake. Signed, Pirro, as usual.
By George, if he answers that, we've got him.
Unless we're too late. Come along, Watson. There's no time to lose. You can take this package for a change. I've been carrying it around all day.
What's in it?
Oh, just a jemmy, a dark lantern, a chisel, and a revolver.
Nice equipment for a respectable citizen to be carrying about the streets of London, I must
say. Yeah, you know, Watson, there are times when I suspect we aren't quite respectable. Here we are. This is Caulfield Gardens.
Thank heavens, it's so foggy. I shouldn't like to be caught in the act of housebreaking.
Yeah. Over this wall, Watson. There's a window we can easily pry open in the back.
Scale that wall?
Oh, come on, hurry up, hurry up. There's no time to lose. Here. I'll give you a boost. Come on, up here. That's it. Look out, here I come.
I must say, Holmes, you're as agile as a cat. It's uncanny.
This is the window. Light the lantern and give me the jemmy. One. Two.
Holmes, the underground runs right past here, almost on the level of these windows. I could have reached out and touched it.
Yes, quite convenient, wasn't it? It was here the body was placed on the roof of the train. Now, look on this windowsill. You can see the soot is blurred where they rested the body. And here, look. This brown stain is blood.
Nasty, eh, Holmes? Let's get on to the house.
Very well, then. Come along. The window's open. Easy, don't break the glass.
Supposing Oberstein should happen to return home.
Well, we must take our chances in this business. Come along, Watson, come along. Our visitor will expect to be let in by the front door.
I wish these stairs didn't squeak so.
9 o'clock. We can expect him at any moment now. You take your position on one side of the door. I'll be on the other. So we can pounce on him when he enters. I'll throw my greatcoat over his head.
Well, I wish he'd hurry.
Shh, Watson.
Well, what if he doesn't come?
There he is. Ready now. I'll open the door.
You wanted me?
No, you don't. Take that.
What the hell?
Easy, Watson, easy.
All right, Holmes, I've got him.
Well, let's take a look at our catch. Take the overcoat away, Watson.
Right. Hi. It's Colonel Valentine Walter, Sir James's brother.
Quite. Well, sir, what have you to say for yourself? Why did you steal the Bruce Partington plans?
Who are you? What do you know about this?
I am Sherlock Holmes. And I know everything.
Oh, this is terrible. I'm lost. I didn't realize their importance until my brother killed himself.
But I needed the money. I had to have it. Oberstein offered to give it to me if I'd let him see the plans.
So you took an impression of your brother's key, opened the safe, and procured the papers. Cadogan West saw you leaving the building, followed you here, and you killed him.
No, I didn't do that. I swear I didn't do it.
No? Then perhaps you'd better tell us who did murder Cadogan West and placed him on the roof of the railway carriage.
I'll tell you. I promise you I will. I did the rest. I confess it, but not that.
Very well, then. How did it happen?
I got the papers, as you've discovered. Made my way through the fog until I reached the door. Once or twice, I fancied I was being followed. I could hear footsteps on the pavement behind me.
Colonel Alder?
Yes.
You have the papers?
Yes. Let me in, quick. I think someone's been following me.
Yes, it's me. Yes. You can't do this, Valentine. It's treason.
All right, you hear?
No, you can't sell the papers, Valentine. I won't let you.
They shall see.
Look out, West.
Take that. How do you like that, my impetuous young friend? Papa Oberstein, he knows how to use a blackjack, eh?
You've killed him.
So?
It's murder. I'm going to get out of this.
Oh, no. I think different. You will come in here if you do not wish to taste a blackjack, too. That is better.
Oh, what can we do? They'll find the body.
I have an idea. First, I look at those papers. I take the ones I want and the rest you put in the pocket of this foolish young man. And then we give him a nice ride on top of the underground train, no? He will be the guilty one. Who will ever know?
What a thoroughly unpleasant gentleman. What a pity that he got away with the papers, Dr. Watson.
Oh, but he didn't. Oberstein had left a Paris forwarding address with Colonel Walters. That gentleman sent him a letter dictated by Holmes, saying that he had discovered that one essential detail in the plans was missing, and that he had procured a tracing which would make it complete for a price.
And did Oberstein swallow the bait?
Did he swallow it? He was arrested as he got off the boat at Folkestone. Some weeks later, I learned, incidentally, that Holmes had spent a day at Windsor Castle and returned with a remarkably fine emerald tie-pin. When I asked him where he got it, he answered that it was just a small present from a certain gracious little old lady for whom he'd been able to do a small favor.
Yes, and I think I can guess the lady's august name.
Elementary, my dear Mr. Manning, elementary.
I see. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, Dr. Watson will be back to tell us about next week's story. In the meantime, let us repeat, watch out for colds. At the first sign of a cold, take Groves bromoquinine tablets. Bromoquinine tablets are made especially for the relief of colds. In other words, they're specialized medication, and that's what you want. Yes, at the very first sneeze or sniffle, go right to your druggist and get a package of Groves bromoquinine tablets. Now, Dr. Watson, next week?
Next week, I think I'll tell you the story of the lion's mane.
The lion's mane? What was that, Dr. Watson?
Well, the answer to that question, Mr. Manning, almost stumped Sherlock Holmes himself. Suffice it to say that they were the last words gasped out by a dying man as he lay writhing in agony on the sands of the Sussex coast.
You have been listening to a Sherlock Holmes adventure, adapted from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's story, The Bruce Partington Plans, with Basil Rathbone as Sherlock Holmes and Nigel Bruce as Dr. Watson. The dramatization was by Edith Meiser. This program is presented from Hollywood every week at this same time by the makers of Groves bromoquinine tablets. Quick relief for colds. This is Knox Manning speaking. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
And that does it for this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. Do join me again when you can for another hour of sounds from radio's golden era. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.